Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a drive to left center field. This one may go back by the monster seats and gone. Completely out of Fenway Park. Three-run bomb, Mookie Betts. He's looked at two pitches tonight, and he's drilled them both out of the park. Number 25 and 74 RBIs for Mookie.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mookie Betts, former AL MVP, could be changing leagues, changing coasts. We're waiting on final details. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Pete Abraham, who covers the Boston Red Sox for the Boston Globe. And Pete, we'll just start there. Is the deal for Mookie Betts and the Dodgers actually done now?
The Red Sox are investigating the medical issues involving the pitcher from Minnesota. And he could potentially be replaced in the deal, but every indication is they're going to find a way to make it work. And once you've committed to trading a player like Mookie Betts and David Price, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle and get away with that. So I do think there'll be a trade.
What are the positives from the Red Sox perspective, Pete? Give me those first.
Well, it's primarily financial. They're going to save $75 million over the next three seasons, most of it coming this year with Mookie Betts scheduled to make $27 million and David Price $32 million, and the Dodgers are expected to be picking up half of that. So that's the biggest thing, that the Red Sox will be able to get under Major League Baseball's luxury tax threshold, reset those penalties after being over for 3 years, and ownership made that a big priority going back to September. Now, that's not really something the fan base cares about, and there's a lot of anger about this because the cost of that savings is losing a once-in-a-generation player in Mookie Betts.
Yeah, so why Mookie? Why not everybody else and keep the guy who you can build around?
I think they were trying to do this all winter long in a way that wouldn't include Mookie, but his salary made it work. How good he is made it work. The Dodgers were willing to take on David Price, who's aging and been injured, as part of the deal. That's how good Betts was. And I think their hope was that J.D. Martinez would opt out of his contract after the World Series. That would have saved them $22 million and given them a chance to at least keep Betts. But once J.D. Martinez decided to come back, the Red Sox were in a position where they were going to have to do something that was really going to hurt the roster. And sure enough, they did the worst thing they could do, and that was get rid of Mookie.
Mm. Just out of curiosity, this ownership group, they've spent a lot of money. They've made a lot of money. Why is it so important for them to get under that salary or that luxury tax threshold?
Yeah, that's something we'd love to ask them, and they really haven't been available to talk about that. They said it was a goal back in September, and then it was. But when ownership says something's a goal, that's clearly what the new GM had to do, right? He was bought in to cut the payroll. Now, their payroll had gotten out of control. It was $25 million more than anybody else in 2018 when they won the World Series. And it's a little bit unrealistic to think they could just continue merrily along with payrolls of $230 and $240 million. Now, getting it down to below $200 million isn't unreasonable. They're still going to have the fourth or fifth highest payroll in the big leagues. But the cost of losing Mookie Betts, that's what's really making fans angry. But I don't know what else they could have done, because Chris Sale's coming off an injury. He's an expensive guy. It would have been hard to move David Price by himself because of his injuries. They didn't really have a lot of options in terms of shedding a big-time player and still keeping Mookie Betts.
Pete Abraham covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the current players or get any reaction from inside the clubhouse?
Yeah, I got down to Fort Myers on Tuesday and have so far been able to talk to Eduardo Rodriguez and Matt Barnes, Jackie Bradley Jr. for a while. There's a few guys here who are already working out, and it's kind of like shocking. They're all walking around like they can't believe this has happened. And you know, that they're not necessarily complaining about it, but the fact that it's happening so close to the start of spring training, the Red Sox still don't have a manager to replace Alex Cora. These guys are going through their workouts at JetBlue Park, and they're just wondering what's going to happen next. And it's a confusing time, I think, for the players.
Mm.
And Betts was a guy who was universally loved in the clubhouse beyond how good of a player he was. He was a great teammate. He was a guy who came up in the organization. Most of these guys have been playing with him for 5 or 6 years now. It's not easy when a guy like that leaves your team.
Well, and then you hold it up next to the Yankees offseason in which they break the bank to get Gerrit Cole. I know completely different position, but just, you know, usually Red Sox fans and a lot of the Red Sox organization will compare itself to what the Yankees are doing, and they're going different directions.
Yeah, it's a lot like in 2018 when the Red Sox signed J.D. Martinez. And they were the ones that broke the bank, and Yankee fans were complaining, well, why are they not doing more to keep up with the Red Sox? Now it's the Yankees who are doing what they're doing, I guess largely in part because they were able to reset the luxury tax and then start spending again and went crazy with Gerrit Cole. So the way baseball's rules work now, and I think this is something they're going to have to revisit when they negotiate the collective bargaining agreement, teams that spend a lot of money are penalized to a point where they feel like they can't keep doing it. I don't know if that's good for the sport because you'd like to see the Red Sox exchanging punches with the Yankees every year. I mean, that's what would be a lot of fun.
And it's not like this is the only big story with the Red Sox over the last month. For heaven's sakes, what's the latest with their managerial search?
Well, it's been very low key. We haven't heard much from Chaim Bloom, the new chief baseball officer. We know that Ron Renneke and Carlos Febles, who are on their coaching staff, have interviewed. But beyond that, it's been very quiet, and it's kind of strange that the players are already starting to assemble in spring training, and there's nobody here. It's just trainers and a couple of minor league coaches. This is the time of the year that Alex Cora would have normally shown up, and obviously that's not going to happen. So I wonder if, and this is what it seems to be, that they're waiting for the results of Major League Baseball's investigation into the 2018 team to name a manager because they don't want to name somebody who a couple days later is connected to that investigation.
But who's going to start workouts? I mean, who's in charge?
That's a good question. I mean, they have coaches on the staff. There are coaches under contract for next year. I would imagine if they don't have a manager by Wednesday when pitchers and catchers have their first workout, one of the coaches would run the team.
Okay, this is they're doing a whole new blueprint in 2020, to be sure. Pete Abraham with us from the Boston Globe covers the Red Sox. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. A.J. Hinch just made some comments to MLB Network, essentially saying it's fair to ask whether or not the Astros World Series is tainted. Has there been any reaction from inside the Red Sox organization about 2018 and their World Series?
Well, they seem very adamant over the idea that they did not do anything like the Astros did. John Henry and Sam Kennedy, the team president, were both at a press conference and said, on the record, absolutely not, if the 2018 title was tainted. Since then, J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and a number of other players have said that there's not going to be anything to find, that they didn't have any kind of illegal system at play during the 2018 season. But at the same time, Alex Cora was found guilty by MLB for what he did as the bench coach of the Astros in 2017. He then became manager of the Red Sox a few weeks later. So it's hard not to wonder what they were doing in 2018. The Red Sox are a very talented offensive team. They scored a ton of runs that year, but the Astros were that kind of team in 2017. So I think they're going to find something that the Red Sox are going to be punished for, but I don't think it's going to be as extensive as what the Astros are up to.
What about Cora personally?
Well, it's interesting to me because the commissioner didn't punish him after the Astros investigation, saying that he would withhold that punishment until after the Red Sox investigation. So you would think Cora is going to get at least a year of suspension, if not more. And at that point, if the Red Sox are found to really have done something, it could be a really long suspension, if not a ban. So for a guy whose whole life has been wrapped around baseball and really relished managing the Red Sox, I don't know what he's going to do. This is a guy who lives and breathes baseball. For him to have to be barred from going to the park, any park, is really going to kill him.
Well, and Pete, you covered the Red Sox before Alex Cora, and then his first season, their World Series run. His fingerprints are all over what they did the last couple years. I mean, how does that affect the ball club? Just the fact that he's not around and he's been essentially kicked out.
Yeah, I think it's going to affect them tremendously, and I think the new manager is going to have a tough task. Alex is a very charismatic guy, going back to his days when he was a player and when he was on ESPN, and the players, you know, trusted him right from the get-go. And this is a guy who, you know, speaks Spanish, and he was an American college player. He's from Puerto Rico. He was a good player for long stretches of his career. He was a bench player for part of his career. There was no player in the clubhouse that he couldn't relate to in some way. And those guys were a very close, you know, a close bunch. I mean, you saw Alex in the clubhouse all the time, talking to the players, sitting at their locker. It wasn't like he was a player, but he was a lot closer to the players than most managers I've seen. And it worked. I mean, the Red Sox were successful. And the new manager, whoever it is going to have – it's going to be hard for him to come in and kind of not get this team's attention, but get this team's attention in a way that Alex did. I think that Alex was such a unique person in that regard, and it's going to be difficult for whoever comes in to follow him.
So, Pete, the phrase this time of the year as we get set to begin spring training is hope springs eternal. And yes, great. The Red Sox ownership is going to be under their luxury tax threshold, but that doesn't really appeal to fans. So where are the reasons for optimism for fans as the Red Sox start a new season?
You know, when you look at it, they scored over 900 runs last year, and they're losing Mookie Betts, which is clearly a big blow. But Alex Verdugo, who they're going to get from the Dodgers, is a good young player, a very good defensive player. He could move into right field. They're expecting a better season out of Andrew Benintendi, who had a bad year last year. Mm. Christian Vasquez, their catcher, has really stepped up and became an offensive threat a year ago. They've got J.D. Martinez. They've got Rafael Devers. They've got Xander Bogaerts. They've got Mitch Moreland. They've got a lot of good players. I think they're going to score a lot of runs. If Chris Sale is healthy and if Nathan Eovaldi is healthy, their pitching staff will be fine. Eduardo Rodriguez had a breakout year last year. So they have a chance to still be a very good team. I don't think that they're anywhere close to the Yankees, but they could certainly contend for a wild card if those starting pitchers can stay healthy.
Have you ever covered a weirder month in your time in Major League Baseball?
Well, I covered the Mets for a stretch back in the Bobby V. Steve Phillips days. Those were some strange days. But to come to spring training and to, you know, okay, I'm going to go over to the park and see what's going on, and the players are coming up to me going, hey, do you know who our manager is going to be? That's a strange thing, I got to tell you.
You can find Pete Abraham on Twitter at Pete Abe, covering the Red Sox for the Boston Globe for over a decade, but in baseball a lot longer than that. Well, at least you got some sunshine and spring training, and so, Pete, there's a lot to be said for that. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.